Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
It's good. I think we're all concerned about the defensive line. I know we all knew this was going to be an issue in the aftermath with Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence. I guess the rumblings around the last few days. How are you feeling about what is going to happen with this defensive line and how they can keep it together for the time being?
Yeah, it's a good question, seeing that they were originally having problems in the middle.
And yes.
Now you're having problems at the ends. Yeah, that's not a good situation whatsoever. They'll have to start at one of the defensive ends, Marshawn Nealon, the rookie, who had a really good training camp, and I thought he had his best game this past game. And, you know, at least he's played. He's at least had, in four games, 108 snaps. He's got nine tackles, so, he's kind of showed up. So that's one of them. But on the other side, I would imagine they elevate Carl Lawson,
yeah,
who was elevated for two games now. So he's got one more elevation, and then they have to make a decision if they're going to put – either or of those two guys on injured reserve, and I would imagine DeMarcus Lawrence is going on injured reserve for sure. It seems like they're holding out hope that Micah's high ankle sprain, 2 to 4, they're hoping for 2, but you never know with those things. They can linger. So on the other side, it would be Lawson for at least this next game, and the only real backups then they have is Chauncey Golston,
yep,
who's got a bunch of snaps so far, and then Tyrus Wheat, who's I think played like 13 snaps so far this year. So I would imagine, if nothing else, they've got to sign somebody to the practice squad to help out there for depth purposes if they need to elevate somebody else. But see, what happens is you've just depleted your depth if you have to start two of those three guys, right?
Yes.
And now what do you do if somebody gets hurt? So, yeah, it's how they talk about out on the beach, a hurricane warning flag out. I would think there's a flag out here for that position.
Sounds like they need to go get Cowboys, huh, Kevin?
No, I'm not going to say that.
I didn't catch that.
Kevin said to Bochy a few months ago, He said, go get Rangers. And then we've been laughing about that for a while. So right. I said, they need to go get Cowboys.
I got you.
What were you trying to say?
It just went right by me.
Either go get them or let's go Rangers is what I think.
You just
merged
them together.
And I was like, the hell with it. Let's just go get Rangers. And then immediately my brain was like, the hell did you just say?
Yeah, you know, and for a team that was stopping, having trouble stopping the run, although they did a decent job against the Giants, you know, losing DeMarcus Lawrence for any length of time, it really hurts because he's probably, no, not probably, he is your best defensive end run stopper.
Yeah.
And now you lose him to Lisfranc injury that, you know, it sounds like it might not be as severe as the normal one, but it's still, you know, even if it's 4 weeks, you know, they could only hope it's only 4 weeks and he gets back in time for the San Francisco game. But, you know, a lot of times those extend to the other end of the spectrum, which is 8 weeks. And, yeah, it's that's a serious one, especially for a guy, you know, of his size and also his speed. That injury to the top of your foot can be pretty painful.
We will try to confirm this with Steven at noon, but there are, of course, rumblings, and I'm sure you're not surprised by this, that Tank is, in fact, going to go on the injured reserve.
Oh, I would imagine so. Yeah. I can't imagine he would be back with, you know, before 4 weeks. So, yeah, and you know, it's amazing how injuries attack one position. It's like a disease, you know. It attacks someplace on your body. These injuries attack one position like that. First it was cornerback, now it's defensive end.
I am kind of curious on Deron Bland. How are we feeling about him right
well,
now?
Well, he's finally working on the resistance cords. So that's a step in the right direction. He's at what, four weeks now?
Yeah.
I don't know that he's ready to start practice, but you get a two-week leeway there if you get him going. You know, he's stay on IR, but he can start practicing. So that might take place, but you got to be careful because you only got 2 weeks. Now you got two games. If he's not ready to play in any of them, then there's no sense starting, you know, that with a bye the following week. So, yeah, got to keep an eye on that one. I was told before the game with Kalen Carson that had they played on Sunday that he likely would have been able to go with that shoulder injury that he has. So they kind of got to hope that, yeah, he's ready to go this next week. Otherwise, Oluwariye is going to probably start if Carson's not ready to go.
And he didn't look...
No,
too bad
that was
limited
encouraging,
at all.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least he didn't fall down twice.
That's a low bar, but that's a fair point.
Yeah, I mean, no, he had two tackles. He had a pass broken up, or two passes broken up, and, you know, and yeah, and at least he's, you know, been productive in the league previously when he was with Detroit that one season. He had six picks. So he actually has done something, which is much more than Andrew Booth has done in the 2 years previous to the coming to the Cowboys in that trade.
That is very fair. What did you think about the fine for CeeDee Lamb? $22,000, $511. I said that wrong.
Dollars.
You get the idea. Fine.
Wait, $22,000. Yeah, that covers it, right?
For unnecessary roughness on a play that wasn't even flagged, and I've watched it numerous times, and it just doesn't really feel like that big of a deal.
Okay, you got me on that one.
It's the pass where he's kind of just cut into the middle, and they move the ball down to about the 10. I guess it's because he ducked his helmet, but he was about to get tackled by two people. I don't think he was trying to, like, barrel into the defender helmet first to hurt him or anything like that. But, yeah, he got fined $22,511 for that.
And that wasn't for the personal foul after the touchdown.
No flag on this play, which I always think is interesting when they're like, hey, I know you didn't get a penalty, but we have determined that was so egregious that we're going to have to take it out of your
chest. Yeah, when's the last time you heard of a wide receiver being too physical?
Yeah.
Or unnecessarily physical, like he went out of his way to hit somebody, seriously. I'll have to go back and look at it.
You're going to have to check hard because you won't see a play that you're like, well, that's probably it. You'll see a play that you're like, what? That was it? Are you serious?
Well, I'll have to check on that one then. Yeah. I'll get back to you once I,
okay, yes,
once
please.
I see it.
It was right at the end of the first quarter. So okay. If you're looking for it, it was right at the end of the first quarter.
I will check that out. Got a note there.
Against the Ravens. I'm sorry. First quarter against the Ravens.
Oh, the Ravens.
Yes. My apologies.
Well, it took that long to figure it out?
Yeah. Because usually they take about 5 days to get it done. So I think it came out Friday afternoon, Friday evening, and I watched the play several times and thought it was absurd.
And the NFL officially announced that?
Yep.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Not for CD, but.
Well,
it's
no.
For their Christmas party, I think. They got to raise $1 million to have a party in New York.
Yeah, that's a good one. So you got any defensive ends sitting around the office there?
God, we might.
Is overshown an option? I'm sorry, did we discuss that already?
To rush the passer?
No, but, I mean, you could kind of do that, but you need somebody to be able to stop the run. And he's only like 235.
Yeah.
And he's not really built. You know, he's kind of lanky.
Yeah, no, he was a safety. And Kevin, you know, I was always kind of concerned about size, but yep. I was like, well, Dan Quinn will figure out how to use him, but Dan Quinn didn't get to use that tool last year.
I mean, I thought of him as maybe a pass rusher, but I don't know about being engaged with some 300-pound guy, right?
Yeah.
He wouldn't be able to use his best.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keepandswitch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Asset, which is his speed, if you put him on the line of scrimmage. That's problematic. And, you know, I'm sure Pittsburgh wants to run the football. We know Detroit likes to run the football.
Yeah.
San Francisco. You know, if they can just hold on tight for several weeks, at least get Micah back. And still, from a run aspect, you know, he's somewhat of a liability against the run when they come right at him. The lack of size at defensive end suddenly is showing up. I don't know if you want to put a defensive tackle out there, but that sure doesn't help the pass rush any.
Well, even if it was a lot of sadness, Mickey, we appreciate all the information. I mean, it's not your fault the information is sad.
Bring bearer of bad tidings.
Figure out just one thing for tomorrow that will cheer us up. Just one thing tomorrow that will cheer us up, all right?
Just one. That's all I got to do.
That's all you got to do.
Other than the Eagles getting beat.
Yeah, the division stinks.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Run, except for the Washington Commanders. But
watch out for them.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, that's not helpful, Mickey.
You know
I
what?
Know.
You're right,
watch
Kevin.
Out for their potentially generational quarterback. I know. That's not helpful.
Have you seen the number of drives they've scored on over the last three games?
At
all
one
of
point,
them? Yeah.
They had scored 16 drives in a row.
I think they've scored over those last couple games, last three games, all but two drives. They've not been able to score a point.
Let's go.
That's
so 23 scoring drives so far this season.
That's pretty amazing, and I appreciate
with a rookie quarterback.
I know. Well, thanks, Mick. It sounds like you're going to have to work harder to find us something positive for tomorrow, because that did not help. There you go, Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. I know we're going to dive further.
Go get Cowboys, Mickey.
No. I know we're going to dive further into college football tomorrow, but let's talk about the biggest game of the weekend in this play by Alabama.
He's got to have it right now. And they take a downfield shot. And the catch is made. It's Ryan Williams still spinning free. Touchdown Alabama. They answer in one play. 75 yards for the 17-year-old. Are you kidding us?
That kid is amazing. And the fact that he's still 17, this game was drugs, as Reggie likes to say.
I was like, well, this game's over. Like,
yes!
In the first quarter. And I was like, I don't need to watch this with Alabama. They look different. Like, they physically, the way they were playing with urgency, their guys, they would get the ball turned, and they were upfield. They looked like they were playing on a different level, and Georgia wasn't prepared for it. And then out of nowhere, Georgia's like, hey, guys, let's come back real quick and make some amazing plays down the stretch to do it. That catch and then stop and spin and then run back upfield to make that was amazing. And then the Georgia players are sitting there on the bench yelling at all the Bama fans. Ah, we got you. You see what happened now? And then they come back and lose the game. It was awesome.
Alabama, midway through the second quarter, was ahead 28-0. I could see how people might have turned that off. In the ensuing two quarters plus, Alabama got a safety and they got a field goal. In the meantime, Georgia scored 5 touchdowns. They outscored them 34-5 to take a 1-point lead for 13 seconds. And then, as you just heard on the ensuing play, the connection from Milroe to Williams, who has been an absolute revelation early in this season. And Alabama wins 41-34 in a game I saw someone describe as Alabama takes the first game of the 3-game series. Because the thought would be
championship
SEC
game.
Championship game, and then you play again in the playoff. And I was kind of wondering how people watch this game. Were you like on the edge of your seat, or were you like, that sucks for Georgia, but they're obviously still going to make the expanded playoff? Because that thought did cross my mind, even if they don't get a bye.
Well, I was peeking at it. It was on in the Angels broadcast. So I just saw.
She had a job to do.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, I think the last I looked, I was like, I think it's 33-28 now. This game's actually close. So I didn't realize until after the Ranger game that Georgia did take the lead and then ended up losing the game.
Yes, so. They held the play. They held the lead for one whole offensive play, and then they lost. But it was an incredible game, and because of that, Alabama leapt over Texas to take over the number one spot.
How? What was the Texas score?
I think Texas won 35-13, but
they didn't cover the spread.
They did not. And they were still having to play for real into the second half against a terrible team.
You beat a team led by Eric Dampier and
Eric Dampier was not their quarterback.
And so Texas,
nor was Dak.
Texas doesn't have Bama on their schedule this year, right?
Correct.
So they won't. So what if they meet in the champion? Are they in separate divisions?
I mean,
I don't know how it works. I'm just
I think they're both in the West.
Okay,
but I'm not. So if they are, they'd be playing well,
perhaps
each other, right?
The SEC is just one big conglomerate now.
And they're taking the two top teams.
Why don't you go ahead?
Interesting.
Go ahead and take a look at the top of the SEC standings. All alone, it is mighty Texas A&M.
Not Ole Miss. I know that. I watched
that. That is true. They lost to Kentucky.
Their quarterback's IQ is not very high.
Mighty Texas A&M atop the SEC because it's only been two games.
Texas is 5-0. A&M's 4-1.
You don't count.
Yeah, against Texas's conference record?
University of Louisiana Monroe doesn't count.
Exactly.
1-0.
Exactly.
So dumb.
Texas A&M at 2-0.
Are they higher than 24 or does that come out
tomorrow? Actually they fell down to tied for 25th.
Oh no.
Because they played Arkansas and looked.
Is A&M answering the phones? First place A&M.
Hell yeah, I would. When's that opportunity going to come up again? We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Wanker of the Weekend. Who had the best, or I guess who was the best at being the worst this weekend?
Eric Dampier, obviously.
And was it one of our favorite Dallas Mavericks columnists making a return to prominence? We'll do it next right here on The
Bobby
Fan.
Bobby Thigpen thought.
From his 43-yard line, Rashid Shaheed calls for the fair catch. Lost the football. Now the Falcons pounce on it in the end zone. Touchdown for Darrell Hodge.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Rashid Shaheed really, really hurt the team right there with that unfortunate attempt at catching the punt. It's time for Wanker of the Weekend. Who was the best at being the worst this weekend? Could it be Shaheed? Could it be Brad Townsend?
What?
Now,
the writer for the morning news?
That's right.
He's a good dude.
I didn't say he wasn't.
I don't know him. I mean, I know who he is.
I've picked on him in the past, but I feel like I've highlighted when he's done excellent work. I do not think this is excellent work. This is his headline today. Cuban campaigns for Harris. Adelson gives Trump millions. Where does that leave Mavericks? They probably are just going to go play basketball and not really talk about their political preferences, would be my guess.
So that's a political discussion there.
Yes.
In the sports world.
And
so because the current owner is backing Trump and the current former owner, I don't know, this is a weird thing.
That sounds
right. Is back in the other group. That's a problem for the sporting team of the Mavericks?
Yes.
How?
Did you read the article?
Oh, let me read you the beginning. We'll go from there.
Can I throw this out before you read it? Because this is my guess. Brad has been, I hate saying this, but he's been a mouthpiece for Mark Cuban.
Yes.
Like, Mark goes through Brad to get a message out, and Brad, that's a relationship that media people can have. Is it going to be an article that pretty much Mark Cuban gave to him?
It might be, but Cuban has a quote in here that makes me feel like when he said that, you should have stopped thinking about writing this story.
Okay.
Let me read you the intro, though.
This is awesome.
In the wake of last November's bombshell that Mark Cuban was selling a majority of the Mavericks to Miriam Adelson, many deduced that the franchise was turning red, not in jersey color, but in ideology. New paragraph.
How? What are we doing?
I don't get it.
Republican
I've
red.
I've never gone to a Maverick game and go, what a Democratic game this is.
Now,
Luke is just I know how I got to vote. Otherwise, I'm not going to be a Maverick anymore.
I'm going to skip a couple paragraphs in a second, but here's a third paragraph. Because remember, the second paragraph was Republican red. Now, I am a fan of bold, short paragraphs like that. I just don't happen to like what he wrote there.
Okay.
Yet, 11 months later, amid one of the most polarizing presidential elections in American history, most fans would be hard-pressed to broad-brush the Mavericks in either major party's hue. All right, then your article is over because you said, well, you know what the difference is? Nothing. And then Mark Cuban went on to say, we don't really talk about politics. We just talk basketball. Your article should be over. If you say, can't really tell the difference. If Mark Cuban says, we don't really talk about politics, the end.
Yeah, I'm actually confused here. Is he trying to stir up the players today at the media thing? Because I would say the majority of NBA players would lean Democrat. I know that's not factual, but I'm pretty sure that would be right. Is he trying to stir them up? Like, hey, you know your new owner, he's gonna vote Republican.
Do you want to play for him?
Yeah. Anymore? Do you want to play for him, or should he be kicked out of the league? I don't know. Like, what is Brad? It feels like Brad's trying to stir up some heat right now.
It is weird because he even went to Synth Marshall to talk about this. And she goes, even as divisive as all that stuff's been, all the chatter going on, I can honestly say we've had none of that. In this building, we're blue and green for the Mavs.
Yeah. Does Brad Townsend think that everybody in the Rangers organization or Cowboys organization all have to vote the owner's way in the presidential election or a mayor election or a government official election? I don't get what he's getting at here. Like, well, now that the owner's voting Republican, I asked Mark Cuban, it doesn't sound like he's voting for Trump. Oh no. Like, I'm pretty sure Jerry Jones was pretty clear as day a few years ago. He's voting for Donald Trump. Fine. That's everybody has a right to vote for whoever they want. It doesn't matter. It's their opinion, their thought. That's what makes America, in a way, freedom. But it sounds like Brad is making it sound like, well, everybody who is under the owner's, I don't know, working for them, they also have to now vote for Republican Donald Trump where they had to vote for Democrat.
Yeah, can you
because
imagine
Mark Cuban was a Democrat?
Yeah, you're can you like, imagine oh my if God. Odyssey's owners said, oh, you man. Have to vote a hey, certain way.
I have been informed that this is a Kamala Harris.
Oh, okay,
Kamala
right. Harris are you sure about that? Now. Are you sure?
No. Oh, it is? No. But it's if you joke. Read articles, yeah. You would think, like, your political opinion has now been changed. I'm going to read you one more passage from this article, and then we can move on. Because I just think that this column is really stupid.
It makes sense, though, Kevin, because it is the most important election of our lives.
You know
lives.
What? That's a good point, Corey. I'm glad
every
that you said that.
Every 4 years, they say the exact same thing.
That is also true. We go back to the article, though. This will go to Corey's point. No NBA games will be played on November 5th as part of the league's mission to encourage fans to vote, which I do
I love
support.
That. I do, absolutely do.
On the night of November 6th, the Mavericks will host Chicago in the American Airlines Center. Regardless of the election's outcome, it's likely roughly half of American voters will feel elation and probably relief. Conversely, the nation's other half will feel disappointment and in many cases, anger and disillusionment.
Sounds like our new owner is going to be rooting for the Bulls on that night because he's red.
That's an interesting
the Bulls
point.
Are red.
So
you ever seen a bull before, Kevin?
Yes. So
everybody's seen a bull, I think.
I don't know.
You know what happens when a bull sees red?
Toronto. Charge.
Yeah.
From the 512, I hate doing this, but I feel like this person really earned it for Wanker of the Weekend. I love how you dumbass Aggies beat your chest like you have some tough schedule right now. You played McNeese State last week, and man, this is
I feel like Kevin was joking whenever he brought that up.
And then they said, The Texas School of the Blind. Well, that just feels inflammatory and factually inaccurate.
I'm going to look
so that up. You should probably not say stuff like that.
Yeah, please don't do that. Don't bring that to this show.
If your takeaway from what I said was that A&M is going to dominate, I don't know how to explain sarcasm to you. I will work on that. All right.
It says here the address of the Texas School of the Blind and Visually Impaired is in Austin, Texas. I won't give the whole address, but you can Google it. So there actually is a school.
I know, but that person from the 512 is making fun of that school and the people that would go to it. So I do not approve of that. All right. Let's stick with college football. Was the back-flipping Auburn cheerleader who tried to take out one of the Oklahoma players the wanker of the weekend? Or do you appreciate her bravery of saying, no, 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 this is my routine, and this is the way it goes?
That's dumb. But when you're doing those flips, not that I've ever been able to do a flip like that before, not on a trampoline. Whenever you're doing those flips, you don't know exactly. You know what's going on. You just think, I got a clear space to do it.
Sure.
And then she just kept going. And she did. She leveled that OU player. Did he get a concussion? Was he out? Like,
I must have missed
this. He laid
this
out on the ground.
I thought I saw one, but it looked like a guy doing it. But it was grain. It was kind of.
The one I saw was a girl.
Yeah, that was one I saw,
I'm
too.
I'm not saying that didn't also happen.
Maybe there was another one that happened, too, where it was because the person doing it had on pants.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just. Oh, I guess I'm being, I don't know what here, but.
Sexist.
Yeah, sexist that usually girl cheerleaders have on skirts and boy cheerleaders have on pants.
Yeah, that is valid because the, you know, sometimes they do wear the pants because it's cold outside.
That's true.
The, I don't appreciate her bravery at all, Kevin. Okay. I don't like it at all.
Okay.
Trying to take out some of the players that were out there trying to make an amazing comeback happen, and they did.
How about that freshman QB running that play to start the game?
That was awesome.
It was like a 48-yard run.
Yeah,
I was thinking
great.
Of you and Carter at the time, and then I kept watching, and I was like, are they ever going to score again?
At the end of the game, they did. At the end of the game, they had three of the most amazing moments I've seen in a long time, like consecutively happen. It was great.
Is that the next Lamar Jackson?
It was a 60-yard touchdown pass and then an interception for a touchdown return. And then the quarterback that you're talking about, he takes a two-point conversion to the right side, and my son's going, throw the ball! Throw the ball! And then he just does a flip over the entire defensive line. It was amazing. Two-point conversion, they win.
Michael Hawkins Jr.
Yeah, he's from, I don't know if you know this, they said Emerson High School in Dallas,
Frisco.
Texas. And I think it was in McKinney is where I saw.
Okay.
So everybody's confused.
I was confused, too. I was like, where is this?
I will unconfuse it for you. He went to Frisco Emerson High School. Now, it happens to be that Frisco Emerson is part of Frisco ISD. Is it located in the city of McKinney? Yes, it is. And that is super confusing.
And the announcer said from Dallas, Texas. And I was like, I've never heard of Emerson in Dallas. And then his dad played for the Packers. So there's all sorts of crazy
Frisco
stuff going on.
Frisco loves to open new high schools. And then finally, we can't let the wanker of the weekend pass without bringing up the Chicago White Sox.
They got to 41 wins. That's a miracle.
They went 41 and 121, and with that, they broke the modern MLB record starting in 1900 for most losses in a season.
Was it the Mets who had it, like the 62 Mets or something?
I believe that is correct. 3 years ago, they won 93 games.
Well, good for them.
This year, they won 41 games.
I'm telling you something.
And the season ends with two outfielders colliding into each other.
I think the White Sox are going to have a better record than the Angels next year.
Ooh.
Angels are that bad, huh?
Yeah. I mean, they'll start
off. Because they don't have any major league players.
They don't. They had six pitchers outside the stadium, and it was Anthony Rendon, Mike Trout, and then four people. I'm like, I don't even know who the crap these people are. And I'm about to call the game.
We're the Kansas City Masterpiece.
That's a bad thing right there.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where Kelce makes history, so does Stafford, and Aaron Rodgers gets really honest. Let's talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Rodgers, step up. Rodgers is sacked and loses the ball. Scooped up by Denver.
Kansas City Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
There we go.
Gridiron Gravy brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home with Rhino Shield? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. Now, heads up for people tonight. Word is Raheem Mostert is not expected to play tonight. You might have already figured that, but just thought I'd throw it out there.
So I have A-Chain.
Okay.
But if you pay like attention to what they're doing, AJ needs a Mostert. He needs a Jeff Wilson Jr. because he's not going to fight for tough yards like those guys do. Those guys get really big lanes to run through and everything. But A-Chain's the guy that he's the change of pace, and the change of pace is so drastically different that he takes off and flies. So it's becoming, he's having to be more of an every down back, and it's starting, and because they don't have a quarterback, everybody knows that's the guy that's going to get the ball. So it's kind of tough for him at the moment with Mostert not being out there. But whenever you have him and Jeff Wilson Jr., you kind of know it comes with injuries. That's what those two backs are.
Now, interesting note, since the Cowboys have the Steelers coming up next, unfortunately for the Steelers, they have lost right guard James Daniels to a torn Achilles, and he will be out for the remainder of the season. He started 36 games for Pittsburgh over the last 3 years, but he got hurt early in the Colts game.
Kevin, I'm not going to lie. I thought when Diggs went down with the cramp, I thought that's what happened.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, crap. But fortunately, it was just a cramp, like Romo said.
Exactly. Maybe it wasn't, but Micah Parsons got it right. Maybe he Miyagi'd it.
Oh. And that would be, can you imagine if you had that power?
Just Miyagi in power. Life.
Let alone on the football field.
He really didn't do much. He was still limping his butt off coming out of like the locker room.
Mentally, though, he fixed him and he won. Don't you think mentally that's what he needed?
Oh, like magic dust?
Yes. Yeah, like
hey, look, kid, I got some magic dust in my pocket.
It worked, didn't it?
Oh, here, have a green M&M. They help you hit home runs. That was how that M&M commercial taught me.
I love the comedian who did the thing on how would have they ever known that kick was coming? Like he didn't telegraph it at all. Like, are you stupid? He is in a defenseless position, and he's going to jump kick you.
Gerard Mayo came out and said that Jacoby Brissett is still 100% our starter. Corey, does it make any difference to you when a coach says Jacoby Brissett is still our starter versus Jacoby Brissett is 100% our starter?
100% makes it sound less likely that he's still your starter.
Oh, no.
It feels like you've gone too far. 150%, you're like, oh, yeah, crap, he's done next week. Well, why would you put Drake May out there with this team other than, you know, late in the season to get some reps for next season?
Sure.
Right now, you really are just trying to make sure you have good position to draft better this year again, so that you can continue to build for him.
I'm guessing not, since I know you had the broadcast, Mike. Did you go back and watch Jags Texans at all?
I'm done.
Okay.
I quit. Okay. He's broken. You guys text me. I don't know if you guys use it on the air or not. You asked me if I would trade all of my Trevor Lawrence cards for Jaden Daniel cards.
Yes, and yeah, we did use it on
air. Yeah, and I'm like, yes, he's broken. I hate it. He is broken. Trevor Lawrence, the guy who I saw in college and somewhat his second year in the NFL, is dead and gone. Maybe he can Sammy D it at 27 years old, but it's over. I hate it for him. He was such a talented 18, 19-year-old and then up to 21, 22, but he's dead. Not as a, you know, he's still alive, but his career's about dead.
You probably won't like this. He said the key for the team right now is for everyone to just stay together. But more importantly than that,
for the kids,
if you watched the very end of the Texans-Jags game, it's 24-20. The Jags have the ball at about the 10-yard line. They run around trying to come up with some amazingly fancy play that's going to turn out to be amazing. There's a whole bunch of laterals and everything like that. Well, the last lateral ends with a Jacksonville player who really looks like he got tackled in the end zone for what should have been a safety.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Here is where the controversy pops up. The Texans were a 5.5-point favorite. So at 24-20 with no safety, you're not going to win.
No way.
But if the safety would have counted, then you're going to win that bet. Or if you had the Jags, obviously vice versa logic. It was not ruled, but bettors, I assume who took
By rule, it should have been ruled a safety.
Yes. I agree. And then multiple tweets. We may have just witnessed one of the most blatant spread rigging moments in the history of the NFL. The refs just shafted or saved bettors everywhere for not calling that safety. The Jaguars safety not called was a Vegas move. Nasty work. Bettors are furious or perhaps delighted. Well,
did you see Aubrey intentionally miss that field goal on Thursday night?
There's been a lot of rigging in the NFL this year, allegedly.
There were a shocking amount of people who I saw was like, man, Vegas has got this. Like, what a quick communication. Hey, Aubrey, we're going to need you to miss this field goal.
But then that would be, I guess, the favorite is usually bet a little more than the underdog.
Sure.
So the favorite not making that field goal would get Vegas more money.
Actually, that is
probably
true.
When the underdog covers, usually Vegas makes money.
Aaron Rodgers gave a review of his performance yesterday against the Broncos. He said, well, the weather sucked, but so did some of my throws.
Yeah.
The one thing I do like is that he continues to be really honest. He goes, I can't say I had a spectacular game.
They scored 9 points. Yeah, he did not have he can't say spectacular because it was that bad.
Yeah.
He also can't say he had a good game any means. No. And his connections with a lot of his guys. Did you see, and I don't know if this is in the show somewhere, did you see that Saleh's like, maybe we should tone down some of the pre-snap stuff because we have so many false starts?
Saleh Mejri?
Robert Saleh.
Saleh Mejri is who he was talking about. There's no part of you that thought that's what was happening.
He's saying we're too dumb.
Carlisle screamed at him to go sit on the bench.
Oh, yeah. He stole the ball.
No, don't fall into that trap, Corey.
But yeah, he said that because they're too dumb to be able to figure out when the ball is supposed to be snapped.
And then he came out. What am I going to say?
No.
Is he going against 300?
This is Sparta. I don't know. No. Let's talk about Travis Kelce.
An actor in a famous movie about 25 years ago.
What?
20 years ago? 15 years ago? Am I getting the years wrong?
Who?
When did the movie 300 come out?
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking 99? About Travis Kelce.
No, I thought you were talking about when Robert Saleh was the actor.
No. Travis Kelce, he's had a tough season, but he did surpass Tony Gonzalez for the most receptions in Chiefs franchise history.
2007 was when that movie came out, by
definitely
the way.
After 99.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, this is the thing, too, is Gonzalez was the first of that group, right?
Yeah.
Like it was him and Antonio Gates. Like, that group's really defined the receiving tight end. And then Kelce just came into the league and he was that guy already.
Is Tony Gonzalez the best receiving tight end in NFL history?
I think Kelce is. Okay. Now. Okay. And I've thought that for a while. But Tony Gonzalez, for me, at that time, there wasn't anybody that could compare to him, and I felt there wasn't anybody that could be him for a long time. Witten was really good at being a receiving tight end.
Witten was, like, overall one of the best.
Is Gronk in that category?
Early in Witten's career, he was phenomenal as a receiver. Gronk was a touchdown machine. His red zone was amazing. That was where he excelled the most. But I've always thought, as a receiver, I like Jimmy Graham for a long time, too. Him and Drew Brees were amazing, but that's a really good group of tight ends right there. And now you got another group coming up as it's turning into more and more of that as we get, Pitts. And
Kelce's going to need to catch more balls.
I mean, he's had a tough season. Well, yeah, and because it looks like I still haven't seen a final.
Saw his knee.
Yeah, but it looks like Rashee Rice is going to be out for the rest of the season. Andy Reid says it's not good. Patrick Mahomes said it's not good. The thought is that
because Patrick Mahomes did it to him.
He's going to, I know they collided, but it looks like Rice is going to be out for the rest of the season.
If you're the NFL, this is a serious question. Do you hold off suspending him until next year? Because if you suspend him now, you just say, well, take him off the injured list.
I think they should.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think they should hold off.
There'd be no punishment.
Him.
I guess you'd lose money.
Yeah. But, like, word was, as soon as it didn't happen by the start of the season, the thought was it wouldn't happen until the offseason anyway. Let me throw this quick note out about Matthew Stafford. He is now 10th all time in most passing yards. Although I appreciate after the fact, because they lost to the Bears, He said, it's tough to think about that after you lose, but he said, it is humbling to be mentioned with a great player like Eli. He did surpass Eli Manning for 10th all time in passing yards.
Eli Manning is 10th all time? Well, I guess he's the 11th now.
That's sure a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's true too.
I'm not arguing. When he retired,
he was top 10 in passing yards. That sounds like a Hall of Famer.
I think you're right. I'm not saying he should be. I just, sounds like he's going to make it.
Wowzers.
Just when I watched him, I was, you know what? That's too strong a word. That is too strong of a word to say anything else.
Wow, and then you put sirs at the end, and it makes it even better. Two syllables.
Back to you, Kevin.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Winning. Will Mike ask a question? We'll find out next on The Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.